right. Thank you, ladies. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. I started and didn't really get through a few weeks ago. Been some teaching since then. Brother Mike Case filled in for me a couple of Sundays I was gone. Did a great job. We always appreciate that. But I'm just going to kind of pick up and add on to, review a little bit and add on to the subject that I taught, I guess, at least one lesson on, and that is, what is it going to be like during the millennial reign of Christ here on earth? Now, you have the Jehovah's Witness and others going around with literature, and all they talk to you about is the kingdom age. Well, that part of it is true. The trouble is, they're basing that on getting there by their works, and that's not going to work, and they got the wrong idea about who Jesus was. They think he was just a created being instead of being God in the flesh. So that's a dead end street, of course, with them. But I want to talk to you a little bit about it. And I believe most saved folks that have been to church much know anything about their Bible. They know what is predicted to come ahead. And we think, of course, it's very close. But the wrong idea is that all of a sudden the world just blows up. You stand before God, find out which way you're going. If you've been good, you go to heaven. If you've been bad, you go to hell. Now, that's not right according to the Bible. There's some things happen before that final great white throne judgment where souls are cast into hell eternally. To die now for the believer is to be absent from the body. The soul leaves the body. We bury the body in the ground. But if the one is lost that dies, Luke 16, not a parable, story that Jesus taught. And in that story, we find where the rich man died, lost, and in hell lift up his eyes. If you've got a new version of the Bible and it says Hades, that's what I got against the new versions. They change the parts they don't like. Difference in Hades and hell. How many of you know that? The big difference. There was a Greek god named Hades. There's a cave over there you can go to right now where the Greeks will point out to you that this particular cave was his habitation and all that stuff. No fire in it. Luke 16 says the rich man was in the flames. So there's fire. And you better watch out for perverted Bibles that take hell out and put Hades in, because that's a false doctrine. And you can always spot it. I'm saying this, you've heard me before, but I have a time sometime that no matter how many times I teach something, I find out somebody didn't get it. sort of like I was probably in about third grade. Teacher kept saying, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. Amen. But anyway, how many of you ever had to go to the blackboard and write it 100 times? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't like that either. But anyway, I understand the necessity of it. One thing about it, you don't forget it, right? Anyway, if you look in the Bible and it says Hades, H-A-D-E-S, that's a transliterated word, not a translated word. If you go from the Greek word to hell, translate it properly, it'll say hell. You transliterate it, then it makes it Hades, H-A-D-E-S. Now, here's the thing. That's a transliterated or invented word. Therefore, if you pick up a French Bible or a Spanish Bible or a Russian Bible, anything in other language, when you get to Luke 16, you'll still recognize the word Hades because it's an invented word. It is not a translation. For instance, in Spanish, and I can't say it with the accent, but in Spanish, when you go to the word in Luke 16, in the correct Spanish Bible, it'll be a translation to the word fiario, fario. It's got fire in it. I mean, you can see the word fire almost spelled out in it. And you'll recognize it. Now, if it says Hades, it's wrong. And that's what I'm saying to you. So what I'm trying to say right now is that we need to understand it's not a big boom. And all of a sudden you stand before God, find out which way you go. By the way, you can be saved in this life and know it. Amen. You can be lost in this life and know it. Yeah, Truth is, folks try to oftentimes to deny what their hearts already tell them, that they're lost. And they want to find a way to fix it themselves instead of God's way. And that's the whole problem. But anyway, on a timeline for end time events. From end time events, we're living in the church age, which took place after the cross when the veil in the temple was rent in two. We live in the grace age, church age. 2,000 years by our calendar. A little more. Well, not a little more, because it was about 33 A.D. when the crucifixion took place. So we're pushing it on 2,000 years now from the cross. But with that said, we're still in the church age. The Gentile age, when the gospel is being preached and the grace of God being preached. Now, when the rapture takes place and the church is called out, something else is going to take place. Jeremiah 30 says that it's the day of Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble, special time predicted in the 12th chapter of Daniel, and a time of great trouble, great tribulation. And that's what we as Christians call in the church age the tribulation period. So imagine with me, I had you do this before. Oh, imagine with me, the pulpit here represents the crucifixion. We're going to move that way in time. Let's move over there to about where that red microphone is. And let's say from the pulpit to that red microphone, we're living in the church age, time, grace age, gospel age. Let's take it from that red crowned microphone on over to where the piano is, and let's call that the tribulation period. Book of Daniel tells us it's a week of 7 years, so that means it's 7 years. And it's a tremendous time. Jesus spoke about it in Matthew chapter 24, the chapter over to our left here, and time of great tribulation. But it'll be a time God begins to deal with the Jews in a particular way, because he's calling out the church. Now, if a Jew is saved today, born again in Christ, he goes out the rapture. But national Israel, with all their troubles you see in the news, they still do not recognize Christ as the Messiah. Now, God is really doing some things. You heard me tell about some of the rabbis, the one that just died at 108 years old. Last name was Kadera. He predicted, well, he didn't predict, but he said back in about 206 or whenever it was, before he died, that the Messiah had appeared to him in a dream. And that he had written a message that could only be opened after his death. In fact, a year after his death, that was his request. Open the letter, open the message 1 year after I'm dead, and it will tell you who the Messiah is and when he's coming back. Well, that was an anxious time. They waited a whole year after he died, and he had a big funeral. They say one of the biggest in Jerusalem, 108-year-old rabbi that was very popular. He died. He made that prediction. So they opened his letter. And, of course, he said the Messiah's name was Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Now, that has caused a whole bunch of infighting amongst the Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem since that happened. But he also said this. He said he'd come back after Prime Minister Sharon died. Prime Minister Sharon was laying in a coma for 8 years. He died this January on the 11th. And so I think we've got every right in the world to look for Jesus to come, not because the rabbi said so, but because the whole world is reflecting what the Bible said would be happening in those days. And the rabbi is just a man. He could have been wrong. But he sure has shook up some of the Orthodox Jews with that prediction, because they really relied on him so much in other areas. By the way, he's not the only rabbi that has made the prediction that something big was going to happen after Prime Minister Sharon died. Remember, he was laying in a coma. Orthodox Jews, the Kabbalist group, fundamentalist group Jews, had put a curse on him after he gave away the housing in Gaza Strip. Hey, by the way, isn't it interesting what's in the news? Didn't we say, and everybody say, you can't let them move in the Gaza Strip, they're going to be firing rockets right over the fence at you? But Washington and all the UN and all that pressured the Jews to give up the Gaza Strip just exactly. Now they're having to take the tanks in there to dig out the tunnels and all kind of innocent lives being lost in warfare, especially if you got a bunch. Now, I'll get back to my lesson in a minute. But when you got a bunch that shoots at you and then runs and hides among the women and children, that's a sorry bunch to start with. I mean, you can't get a bigger picture of a coward than that. And then they like the propaganda that women and children are being killed. Well, I guess so. You sorry rascal, you went and hid right in the middle of them. And so, I mean, it's just a bad situation. The whole world is, of course, but that's really bad. All right, I got off my timeline. Come back to me. Church age, rapture, tribulation period, and then my subject, the millennial reign of Christ. Now, you divide up the word to see what it means. The word mill means thousand. Some of these fellows that work in the shop, they know how to mill off so many thousands off of a piece of metal. Mill means thousand. Annum means years. So when we deal with the word millennial, we mean 1,000 years. Now, you say, where's that word millennial? Well, it's not exactly spelled that way, but turn with me to the last book of the Bible and look at Revelation chapter 20. And I'll show you why we know it's 1,000 years long. Because we already got over now through the tribulation period when you get to Revelation chapter 20. A lot of bad things happened in the tribulation period. A lot of God's wrath began to fall on earth, and some hideous creatures showed up, and some awful things, earthquakes, and all kind of bad things. But in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, we don't have time to go all the way down, but look in verse 2. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil. This angel did now. That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him how long? 1,000 years. Then you get down to verse 3. And the devil's cast in the bottomless pit. He deceived the nation no more. What's it say? Till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. 6 times now in that chapter, it says 1,000 years. I think God wanted us to know that the millennial reign was 1,000 years long. And Satan will be bound during that 1,000 years. And it'll make it different. And that's what I want to talk about, is some of the things that is obvious from the scripture. I won't have time to deal with all of it. Some of the things that are going to be in the millennial reign. Most of the time we preachers, including myself, we preach up to about the rapture, or maybe a little bit in the tribulation period, and we stop. But that's not all of it. There's yet 1,000 years on planet Earth that is going to play out. Ultimately, we're going to have the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. We're ultimately going to have a time, and it's okay to call it heaven, but really for the Christians, it's really the New Jerusalem. But anyway, sometimes we forget we're going to have a great time here on earth. Now, we're a little bit worried this week because it may rain at youth camp. But if God lets us have a youth camp during the 1,000-year reign, it'll be perfect. It won't be too hot, won't be too cold, won't be too wet, won't be too dry. It's not that way now. Things are out of balance now because this earth is under a curse. But then the curse will be lifted. Did you ever read over in Genesis about the curse after Adam sinned? Every now and then we'll say, by the sweat of your brow you earn your living. That's not quite accurate. It really says that sweat of your face. You men that have got out work, especially in this Florida sun, there's one thing to have a little dampness up here on your brow. It's something else when it's dripping off your chin, when your face is sweating. And excuse the word sweat. I don't want to offend anybody. I could have said perspiration, but, you know. Now, all joking aside, that's part of the curse. That's why a man has to earn the living by the sweat of his face. And that is true. A curse was put on. Now, we're still under that curse. You read it close over there when God talked to Adam and Eve and the serpent in the garden. You'll find out that when man tills the soil, it's going to bring forth weeds and thistles and pestilence are going to be. And all of that stuff we'd prefer not to have. I've said it to you before, but if you could actually go out in the woods somewhere, and it'd be hard to do now, but it is possible, somewhere where a man has never took a plow, never cut, never tried to clear up the land, and you don't find the weeds and thistles. You find the plants growing wild, so to speak, but once you go in and cut it, just take a mower in there. Just go in there and plow it and come back and see what grows. Every time it'll come up with weeds and thistles. That's what the farmer has to deal with all the time, keeping the weeds out of his crop. And the earth has a curse on it. That curse will be lifted during the millennial reign of Christ. That'll be good. Amen. You say, well, I still have to mow the grass. I don't know about that. But I just know the curse that brought a lot in with it. And it's still true. In the millennial reign, the rose bush will not have thorns on it. Thorns are a picture of the curse. We're dealing with our clearing a lot over here. The church owns across the road there for parking. We got cactus thorns growing everywhere. And having to fight those things. And a thorn, when Christ was crowned with a crown of thorns, do you know what he was saying? He was taking the curse on himself. He was picturing that. He took the curse for us. He died in our place. He took our sin on him, the picture in the crown of thorns. Thorns picture a curse. But in the millennial reign, the rose bush won't have the thorns. And if there's any cactus, they'll have to give up their thorns too. Truth of the matter is, it's going to be a different thing when the curse is lifted. Now, there's all kind of theoretical things. The Bible's pretty clear on what I've said up to that. We can use our imagination. Some believe that the sunshine out there right now, as pretty as it is, that during the millennial reign, when the curse is lifted, it'll be ultraviolet colors. And so that gray, dull rock the sun might be shining on will all of a sudden shine like gold, or it'll have various colors in it, like an emerald. Now, that's theoretical, but it might just be true during the millennial reign. Changes. One of the changes I'm looking forward to is the changes in the flesh. Amen. I about wore this old house I've been living in out, right? And that's why we got a long prayer list. That's why we got a drugstore. That's why doctors keep busy. Doctors have a big job to do. I read a little clip where it said the fellow was about to die, and his wife brought the doctor in and said, we think he's really sick. He's about to die. He said, okay, I'll pull him through. You didn't get that. We joke about it sometime, but the doctor can't help you but so long, and death is going to happen anyhow. He might pull you through on this side, or he might pull you through on the other side a little early sometime. But anyway, I'll be interested in the new body. So what's it going to be like? I don't know. I can let my imagination run wild. I can show you a verse. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3, and when you read a verse like this and ponder it a little bit, you recognize something pretty interesting. 1 John chapter 3, maybe the first couple of verses. John is speaking. He's the apostle. He was the youngest one with Jesus. You remember that? He's the one that leaned on his breast at the Last Supper. 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, that's a term in the Bible used several different ways, different times. Used in Genesis 6 with the fallen angels, used in Job when Satan was among the crowd that showed up and Satan accused Job. But here it says, we should be called the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Need to always remember that. If you feel like you're being persecuted because you're a Christian, and by the way, in the foreign lands, my. Did you see the clip on the news last night? In fact, I think on our radio station this morning, right there in Iraq, one of the cities in Iraq where this terrorist group has been taken city by city. So they've already passed out the ultimatum, and it showed in the news last night, a church building full of people, and the news being given to them, that you will either convert to Islam or we'll kill you. So a lot of them are trying to get out of the country. Some of them will make it, some of them won't. But can you imagine that? Now, let me tell you the truth. If they got in power in Washington, D.C., we'd get the same order. See, they in their so-called holy book, which is a joke to me, but in that book, it tells you to kill the infidels or put them under Sharia law to pay a tax. And if they don't pay the tax, they won't convert to Islam, you kill them. That's what their book says. And they're doing it. They're doing it everywhere they come to power. And it even finally beginning to get through some liberal reporters what their motive is and what it is. But anyway, coming back to 1 John chapter 3, he said, we'll be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Persecuting you because they don't know Christ. Verse 2, behold, now are we the sons of God. That's a particular category. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Right now, I'm born again. I'm a son of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but. That's one of the big important words in the Bible. This conjunction, but. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Boy, that is a powerful, powerful promise. What was Jesus like after the resurrection? The body that he showed up with. It appeared and disappeared when he wanted to. Right. He walked through the walls with it. Right. It was amazing. And I'm going to be like that? Wouldn't it be wonderful not to have to go out there and get in that old smutty car and buy all that gas to go down the road? All you do is you think and you're there. I'm just imagining. But Jesus apparently could appear and disappear when he wanted to, and he had a power that we don't understand. Now, science today is trying to work on this thing like Beam Me Up, Scotty, where the Star Wars, you know, they turned them into particles, and then they, I don't believe none of that's going to help them at the hand of man. But I believe that a day will come that we'll be like Jesus and could do what he did in that resurrection body. That will be the day. Now, in the millennial reign, Revelation tells us that we'll come back and rule and reign with Christ during that 1,000 years. Now, some will argue that'll only be the Jews. I have a little problem with that, because John himself that wrote the Revelation said we. And while he was a Jew, he was a pastor also of a Gentile congregation, probably more Gentiles in it than Jews before he died. And so I'm not so sure. I think when it says we, that we'll rule as priests and kings, it just may include all of us. That's just, again, my opinion. Anyway, can you imagine, and I'll not get to it. I see the clock's beating me. But we can read over there after a little bit in Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 65, and we'll read over there about the change that's going to be on the earth. Can you imagine God's people being at the perfect age, whatever that is, if it's 33 or what, with no marks of sin on them, no marks of the curse on them? In a sense, God's people in the millennial reign are going to be like little supermen. Right? You can't get a head cold. You can't die. You're going to be immortal. That's going to be great. I'll tell you what's going to be better than that. We're going to be helping the Lord police the world that's not saved. Yeah, there'll be lost people in the millennial reign. And the Lord himself will be on earth, sitting on a throne in Jerusalem, ruling, the Bible says, with a rod of iron that goes out of his mouth, which is his word. And if I can get to it, I'll read some verses on it in a minute. I'm saying to you, it'd be a great time. I was having an argument with some county or city official. I don't know. I've had so many arguments with so many of them, I don't remember. But one of them, and I was kind of, since I knew he was supposed to be saved, I said, well, you better watch out. When I come back, I may be mayor of this town, and I'll take care of you. Just joking around a little bit like that, but the time's going to come. The Christians are going to be in charge. We're not in charge now. Don't kid yourself. We have the hardest time getting a genuine Christian elected to office. We're not in charge now. Now, we are the salt, and we are the light, and we are doing some preserving, but we are not in control. One day, we will be. And we'll have our king on the throne, not the world's king. And going, that's what the millennial reign is about. 1,000 years long, climate's going to be fixed, plants are going to be fixed. Well, just you can find it quick as I can. Go over to the book of Isaiah. We'll look at a few verses. Even God's changing the nature of the animals. How many of you know now that the nature of an animal is carnivorous? There's animals that only eat plants, like an elephant or something. But you better watch out. He can still hurt you. And the carnivorous nature of animals, the bears, the lions, it starts with dogs even and so on and goes on up. I didn't see any details, but I saw a flash in the news where some dogs had killed a kid. We normally think of the dog as being man's best friend, but he's got a bad nature in there too because he's under the curse. If you were to look in about chapter 11, verse 6 of Isaiah, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. That's a baby goat. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now, listen to me here a minute. That's not true now. You put the lion and the ox together, that's bad news. You put the cat in the cage with the canary and see how many of them you get out. That's the curse. That's the nature of it. But the time is coming, those animals. That means that it says the lion eats straw like the ox. Now he eats the ox. Amen? And that's the change that God's going to see. All that's wrong in this old world came because of the fall into sin. All the curse that followed that is what we're experiencing today. Natural life, we speak of it as today, but it's carnivorous. I don't like to see those programs, though you've seen them with me, I'm sure. Some of the documentaries were over in Africa and other places where lions kill people and bad stuff like that happens. Some of this foolishness that our kids are taught by the environmentalists and the earth worshipers get them in trouble. I saw where two young women over in the Alaska area, Arctic area, wherever they were, they went out from the lodge on the mountain where they were on purpose to take a hike and walk out there and hoping they'd see a polar bear. Well, they did. He was at some distance when they first saw him. They would have had time to turn around and get out of there. But, oh, they'd been taught, we got to save the polar bear. We got to love the polar bear. We got all these wonderful warm feelings toward the animal kingdom. But they got too close, and both of them were killed. That thing charged them and killed them. You better watch out for some false teaching like that. They say the polar bear is one of the worst to go after a human, but a grizzly bear will, and even a black bear will. We had a lady bald up here in Orlando the other day with a black bear. Let's don't be stupid, folks. The Bible's right. There's a curse on this earth, and there's a carnivorous nature of the animals to hurt you. Now, the old idea, well, we got dominion over them, and they'll run from the smell of a man. Some of them will. Depends on how hungry they are, which way they run. Amen? Watch out for some of that silly stuff. Somebody says, the old alligators won't hurt you. Well, get in their territory and give them a chance. You might change your mind. Anyway, we need to be wise to some stuff that the Bible says that's true. But longevity of life is going to reappear. Now, I'm saying that you and I that are saved and come back with Jesus, going to rule and reign with him 1,000 years, we'll have a body like his resurrection body. But there'll still be on earth people living in the flesh, and longevity of life, like was in the days of Noah and before, are going to reappear on the earth according to what the Word of God says. And again, it's if you read Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 65, you read about that. I was going to read a text in Matthew, and you were not listening fast enough, and I let my time slip by. One thing that's going to happen in the millennial reign, and I'm just going to read it and pick up on it next week. Verse 31 of Matthew 25, where I originally told you to open. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. We know from other verses, of course, that's Jerusalem in the kingdom age. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, one of the things that's going to take place during the millennial reign that I'll try to pick up on maybe next week is the nations have a judgment to face. Amen. Now, while the Lord is on the throne in Jerusalem, they're going to be called before him for a judgment. I'm talking about earthly nations. I'm talking about the ones we know the names of, ones that we see in the news. Boy, you talk about the shoe being on the other foot. You talk about all the stuff that goes on in Washington and these other headquarters of the other nations, the United Nations. They're going to find out who the real boss is when they stand before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nations are going to be judged. Right in this text, we'll find